today on Living on Every Word.
Holy Spirit came. He came as a gift into your life. What are we doing with that gift today? The Spirit of God wants to grow in your life and manifest new and fresh great things in this world and in this life through you. And that's the power of the Spirit of God. It is the power of the Spirit of God.
Transformation, life change. A great thought, but how do we get there? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher talks about the mighty work God's Spirit comes to do in our lives in part two of Transformation.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit has been given to the church. Jesus had asked the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the visitation of the Spirit of God. And in waiting in that upper room, the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says, with power and with fire, and the church was birthed. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and then when He came, some unusual things took place. And therefore, in those unusual things, the world said, those people are drunk. That's what they are. They're drunk. Another word is they are drunks, they're alcoholics, they've been drinking all night and they're still drinking as the sun has come up, and that's what you're seeing. And of course, Peter stands up in Acts chapter 2 and says, no, wait a minute. That's not what's happening at all. You may be thinking that they're drunk, but they're not. They are filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is doing great and mighty and unusual things. And the Bible says this is what the prophet Joel said in the last days, that the Holy Spirit will be poured forth upon all mankind, and sons and daughters will prophesy. Sons and daughters will prophesy and speak and proclaim the great things of God. And this is what you're seeing. This is what's taking place. And it is the promise of God in the Old Testament, and it's the promise of Jesus before He died. If you turn back to Acts chapter 1, in verse 6, when they come together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it this time You're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know times and epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses. It's not you might be, you can be. No, you will be My witnesses. You shall be My witnesses. There is a very definitive move of God in Acts, and there's a definitive move of God in our lives that when the Holy Spirit comes, He empowers you to be His witness. Look what it says. It says, the Spirit will come upon you, and you will be My witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. In other words, you receive God's power to be and to give witness to the great things God has done in your life right where you are and to the places that you will one day go. You're empowered with the Spirit of God to be able to give witness to God and to see the great and mighty things to go today, to go to your home, to be a witness in your home and in your community and in your area. That's where you are today. Wherever you will be today, the Scripture is saying you're to give powerful witness of the greatness of God in your life and the great things God has done in your life. That is what this verse of Scripture is about. It is about the ongoing gospel of Jesus Christ penetrating dark places like it penetrated your dark heart one day. And that light is to come forth from you. That salt is to come forth from us. And it is to give light to dark places, to the place where you are and to the place that you're going to be. And it may just be Jerusalem, and it may just be Jerusalem the rest of your life. But you may cross a state line. You might cross a border. You might cross an ocean. But the Spirit of God is given to you as a believer in Christ, not just to get your ticket punched and to go to heaven one day. And to think, oh, I've made it into heaven. I've made it to this place. No. The Holy Spirit comes and these folks get born again and then they become witnesses of what they've seen and what they've heard. And that's the power of the Spirit of God. And the question we must ask this morning is are we willing to receive that power with that kind of assignment? Because that's what it is. This is an assignment. It's empowerment and an assignment. There's so many people in this world that are scared of the assignment. And then there's a whole lot of people scared of the power. Because it's unusual or it's different or it's odd or it's that something other out there. And I just want to ask us as a church body this morning is that we will lay down our fears and our preconceived notions of what the Spirit of God might do in our midst in these days. Amen. To lay it down and to say whatever and whenever and wherever. And to just lay that down on the altar and to do that today. And if you have to do it this afternoon, do it this afternoon. And if you have to do it in the morning, do it in the morning. But every day of your life, this whole thought is that I've got the Spirit of God living in me. And when I've got the Spirit of God living in me, I ought to be emanating that. Pouring out of my mouth, pouring out of my life, pouring out of my lips, the love and the life and the grace and the mercy of Jesus that was afforded you. The same grace, the same mercy. And that's why I believe with all my heart, and you've heard me say this before, that's you want to talk about positive thinking and that all that stuff? Listen, this is the most positive thing that you could ever be about. Because it comes from heaven. When the Holy Spirit came, He came as a gift into your life. What are we doing with that gift today? Is it still wrapped? Is it been undone and said, oh, is this all there is? Because I've heard some people say, is this all there is? Well, I want to tell you what. No, it's not all there is. The Spirit of God wants to grow in your life and manifest new and fresh great things in this world and in this life through you. And that's the power of the Spirit of God. It is the power of the Spirit of God. There's three things about this passage of Scripture, this verse, that I hope will be fresh to us this morning. The first is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you. It comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes and He gives life to you. You're born again by the Spirit of God. And He comes to do certain things. Now, I want you to turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And notice what Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to come and do. John chapter 16, just a few pages back. Verse 5, now I'm going to Him who sent me. I'm going back. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. He will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. The first thing that we do through the Spirit of God does, is we receive and or He brings help to us. He gives us help. He's the helper. The word helper is paraclete. It means it's two words, a called alongside to help. What's so great about the Spirit of God is that not only is He living in your life, He's right beside you. He's right beside you. And I think that ought to give us volumes of sensitivity. To go from this place to know He's in my heart and He's right beside me. And that means He knows all and He sees all. And He understands all. And I want to tell you this. There's sometimes we go through life and we do things in the secret place that we ought to not be doing because nobody else is looking. And you'd never do those things when somebody else was looking. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God is in your life today. And He's right alongside to help you. He is the helper. Now, that's what He does to believers. He helps you. So when you don't think you have the strength to do what God's asked you to do, to fulfill the assignments that God's given to you in this life, I know the Holy Spirit is in me living, and He's called alongside, and He's helping me. He's helping me to these things. And it's something to remember, and it's something to acknowledge, and it's something to confess. Well, if you look at the next verse of Scripture in John chapter 16, he helps the believer. I'm your helper. I'm going to send him to you. He's going to help you. And he, when he comes, watch what he does to the world. He'll convict the world concerning sin, and he'll convict the world concerning righteousness, and he'll convict the world concerning judgment. You know, I know that there's been times in our lives where the world would say, you're nothing but judging me. And you know, that's not been your heart at all. Under the conviction of God, because of maybe the lifestyle that you're living, or about the things that you're saying, the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction. And he'll bring conviction of sin in your life. He'll say, here's sin, here's righteousness, and here's judgment. You know, the Bible talks about judgment. There's a judgment we're all going to face one day. We're going to give an account for all the things that we said and we did in this body. We're going to give an account to that. Here's sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Here's righteousness. It's the standard by which we live. And guess what? I'm the helper that's going to come along your side and help you live the standard of righteousness and not the standard of sin. That's where we get transformation from. Transform from a sinful life to a light that we follow after God. And it's by the Holy Spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to verse 17. And I want you to look at that. Verse 17. I want you to know what the Bible says about the Spirit right here. Verse 17. Notice what it says. The Lord is the Spirit. Wow. The Lord is the Spirit. Yahweh. Jesus, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom, liberty, freedom from the law, freedom from the world, freedom from the enemy, freedom from sin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That is a promise. The promise of God's presence in your life. He sends the Holy Spirit into your life to do this thought, to do this thing, to convict us of sins when we're in the world, show us what the righteousness of Christ, and by faith we give our lives to him and we walk this life out. We walk this life out for the glory of God. And that's what he says in the next verse, verse 18. Notice, look what he says. And we all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into that same image that we're beholding. And that's happening in our lives from glory to glory. Now, that's a very powerful verse. It's a powerful verse because I want you to notice a couple of things about this verse. I want you to notice the vision of the Word, the vision of Scripture. The Scripture is, a vision for your life is that you live a life that's reflective of Jesus Christ. To look like Christ. That's the vision. That's the end. That's the promise of Scripture. It's not just you go to heaven one day. No, it's this character change, and it's this love change, this thing going on in your life that's we call transformation, and that's what he uses in this word, transformation. We are being transformed into the same image. And I'm going to ask you, church, is that happening today in your life? Is that happening in your marriage today? Is that happening in our church? Is there transformation? Because as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it's a very discouraging thing for all of us to see people, quote, come to Christ and never seem to be transformed. There's a certainty from Scripture that says, I'm going to conform you and I'm going to transform you into the image of Jesus. But you know why we don't want to believe that? You know why we don't want to believe that? Because of our different sources of authority. Now, let me tell you what that means. There's only one source of authority, and it's the Word of God. But what we want to do is, instead of looking at the Word, we want to look at our experience. And that is a source of authority. That is authority. Experience can be. But you can be deceived by your experience. And so we think, okay, well, all these folks have come to Christ, and, you know, they're not becoming conformed to the image of Jesus. I've really just not just seen it, so we're struggling with it. And we look at that, and we look at their lives. He said, well, why are you looking at their lives? Well, the Bible says you're known by your fruit. And I look at my own life. And I said, well, that mustn't be the truth because it really isn't happening in my life. Or it's not happening in my brother's life or my mom's life or my best friend's life or the person that I love the most. Certainly, he's still got Jesus. And so what we do is we build up doctrines and we build up things and schemes based upon our own experience, lack of or full of. And we need to line ourselves up to the Word of God and what God says. I love what Paul says in the Scripture. We all are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. There's something certain about that. And what I'm praying is, for me and for you, is this, that we'll get a hold of that truth and we'll believe it with everything that we are. To believe the promise of God. That the Holy Spirit comes to empower me to be a witness. And he says it this way, you shall be my witness. And the question you've got to ask, and I got to ask of myself, is how faithful am I to that word? How faithful am I to that word? Even Paul says, you know what? I buffet my body, I make it my slave. After I myself preached, find myself disqualified. Or he says, test yourselves, make certain of you're of the faith. Do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Spirit is in your life? And so what happens is we look at the Word and then we look at our lives and say, well, the Word must not be true. But I'm going to tell you, the Word is true. Look at the end, the vision that's to be fulfilled, transformed. Do I believe that? Do I anticipate that? Do I love that? Do you love the thought of being able to reflect Jesus in your daily life? Please, I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about being and reflecting Jesus. Loving, caring, compassionate, merciful. Moving in life, reflecting this love and this glory and this honor. That's why the Spirit of God came into your life. And he shows us this is the goal. This is where we're heading. This is where we're moving. And we're to move like that individually, and we're to move like that as the church. The Holy Spirit, he brings help. He brings transformation. And he gives us the end. He shows us what we're moving toward. And then he also gives us the means. He gives us the Spirit of God. And this freedom is great. The Bible talks often about being led by the Spirit and then to be taught by the Spirit of God. And it's a daily thing. And sometimes it's a grind. Sometimes it's hard. But the Spirit is given to lead you and to guide you and direct you. There's a great passage in Galatians chapter 5. I'd like for you to turn there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Yeah. Have you been struggling with a certain sin? Maybe some fear, worry, maybe anger. Have you been struggling with something, with lust or with bitterness? I mean, think about it with me. Would you be honest? I'm just asking you to be honest with yourself. I've been struggling. This is what I've been struggling with. And then fill in the blank. I've been struggling with anger. I've been struggling with fear for the future. It's so uncertain. There's so many things going on. I'm struggling with being angry at this person. I'm struggling with this lust problem. I'm struggling with the flesh. I want you to notice in verse 16, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Wow. Do you know that all of us, even as we have Christ in our lives, still have this thing called the old man and the old nature? And there's a flesh thing in us that has certain desires. And the Bible says that those desires will not be fulfilled as long as you're walking by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was given to you to come alongside, to help you, to empower you, to be the witness by laying down the junk and the stuff and walking by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, they crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Let's live by the Spirit. Not by what the world says. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about all the things that come in this culture and how we keep our eyes on that. And before long, we're beholding that stuff and that junk. And if you're continuing to behold the stuff and the junk, you wake up one day and you're the bitter old man and the bitter old woman.
because it didn't work out the way you thought it should all work out. When all along God was coming to move into your life to change you and for you to see the change take place all around you. The Spirit was given to lead you. And if I'm led by the Spirit, I won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. That's a promise. And I line myself up to that and I believe that, especially in the heat of temptation. How many of you have bitten? How many of you got mad this week? How many of you spewed something out that you just wish you didn't spew out? Let me ask you a question. Were you beholding the Spirit of God at that moment? Were you beholding the glory of God? How many of you just did something really good this week? You know? I mean, just something came out of your life, out of your mouth, that you just couldn't believe it came out of your mouth. Well, why was that? I want to suggest that it was because the Spirit of God was leading you and directing you. And you had your eyes, or you were in a season of having your eyes fixed on Him. We behold as in Him, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. I notice this. I see this in Scripture. I want to see this in my life. I want to see it as a man. I want to see it as a husband. I want to see it as a father. I want to see it as a pastor. I want to see it in every area of my life. And that's what I pray for, because this is the vision. And the Spirit gives us this vision. And then notice the means. The means is not only the Spirit's, but it's you beholding. We're beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. And we're becoming transformed into that glory, that compassion. Let me ask you a question. When you think of the glory of God, what is your picture? What is your picture of the glory of God? You know, I was visiting that with someone this week, and I got two pictures. First picture is hanging up in my office. It's the Good Samaritan. It's the glory of the Lord in my eyes. It's where Jesus, the Good Samaritan, comes and stops what he's doing for 33 years and bandages and takes care of that person, where he displays the compassion, the grace, the mercy, the loving kindness, and the forgiveness. That's what the glory of God is to me in my heart. That's my picture. And the question I want to ask myself, am I doing that on a daily basis? Is the glory of God emanating from me? Is it emanating from the church today? Is it emanating from you? I love to behold, because when I behold, I know I'm in a great place. Because when we behold Him, we are conformed into the same image. And so I have this end, this vision. It's to be transformed. The Holy Spirit comes in my life to lead me, to teach me. And then I behold Him. I fix my eyes on Jesus. And I see the promise that it's from glory to glory. And that's the first word, Holy Spirit. Second word is witness. When I behold Him and become like Him, I become a witness. Don't have time to look at Acts chapter 16. Just early this morning, just meditating over this first passage, I wanted to share this, but literally it's just the vision of Paul. When God spoke to Paul and changed Paul, you know what He told him? He says, "Now I'm appointing you to be a witness to the things you've seen and heard and the things that you will see and hear." Wasn't that great? A witness to see and tell and share what you've seen, what you're going to see, and what you're going to hear. There's such a great movement of God in our lives when we hear that I have the opportunity to share and to testify. Holy Spirit, being witnesses, and then I want to talk to you about the place. The place. The Bible says that we're His witnesses to the place that I am and to the places that I'm going. You know, we at Cottonwood for years have been going to a lot of places. Talk about nations a bunch here. And I began to think about all the other places that are represented here in this place. I think about the little groups or little neighborhoods. Yeah, Lone Oak is where Dan is, and Bowman Ridge where we are. Cottonwood. You know, Cottonwood was once a school, had a school here. And 90 to 100 kids came to this school. And it was a community center, and it was a school, and it was a church. It was all those things, and people gathered. And the places that we live on have that kind of history. They have that kind of history. And I think about Hasse and Gustine and Hamilton and Edna Hill and Carleton and Huckabee and Beatty and Lingleville and Alexander and Dillion and Zion and Bunyan Community and Stephenville and Hyco, School Hill. This is what I'm calling it. Embrace your place. Embrace where you are. There are people around you that are hurting. There are people around you that are having surgeries and you don't know about it. Embracing the place. Embrace your place. The geographical place that you are and where you're going. That's why the Holy Spirit filled you to be a witness to the place that you're at. Whether it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the othermost parts of the world. It's just going to the place. It's embracing the place to be light and salt to the places that we need to be. Second thing is not only do I want to embrace my geographical place, but I want to embrace my calling and my giftedness. We're going to close with this verse. I'm going to look at it real quick. It's 1 Peter, I think, chapter 4, verse 7. Go on and turn there. And I'm going to ask as you're turning to ask the Lord, God, what is the one key thing in this passage of Scripture or in this sermon that you're speaking to me about? Because I'm thinking in terms of individual transformation, family transformation, and community transformation. To believe that the Spirit of God is in your life to make you a witness to the place that you are and the places that you're going. I'm asking you to do that today. But I'm also asking you not only to embrace the geographical place of your community and to ask God, what could you do? What could God do in your life to be light? But also to embrace the call and the giftedness on your life. And in chapter 4, it says in verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that great? Love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, and whoever speaks is as to do one who is speaking the utterances of God, and whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So then all things, watch, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. The Holy Spirit is given to you to empower you to be a witness to the place that you are and to the places that you're going. I want to ask you, are you a witness today? You're witnessing something. People are seeing something out of your life. Your family is seeing something. Your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your children are seeing something. What are you witnessing? Are you witnessing the greatness of God's glory to a lost world and to a world that is saved? My prayer is that you will embrace the place. Let's be light. Let's be salt by the power of the Spirit of God to the places that we are and the places that we're going. Pray with me right now. Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy, your grace and your life. I thank you for the glory of God today. And I ask God that you'd come and you'd lead us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who makes us a witness to go to witness to the places that you've called us to. And it may be a Jerusalem, a Judea, a Samaria, and it may be the uttermost parts of the world. I just ask God that in this day that we would embrace our place. We would embrace the place that you've put us for this season. It may be a week, it may be 2 weeks, it may be a month, it may be 10 months, it may be 10 years, it may be the rest of our lives. We want to embrace where we are today. But also, Lord, we want to embrace the places that we're going. And whether that is to a new move, to a new city, to a new country, whether it is to a new job, Lord, to a new school. God, I just want to thank you that we get to embrace our place and to be the people of God in this world. And I thank you, Father, for how you'll move in our lives. Stir within us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on